له فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, it's always nice to be back here to see these beautiful bright faces. I ask Allah to reward those who accommodated this meeting today in the same way we met here. I ask Allah we meet in the gardens of heaven on the judgment day. I ask Allah to reward all those brothers in charge of this that made this meeting overnight. This happened overnight. May Allah reward them all. And inshallah, in the future, it'll get better and better, and they'll accommodate, inshallah, for us more. Our topic today is about Muhammad. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last meeting, for those who follow up, my last Jum'ah, we talked about Ramadan, and how to welcome Ramadan, and how to greet Ramadan with repentance, and recitation of the Quran, and giving in charity for the sake of Allah. We talked about that, and all that goes to one reason. Because we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we stop eating in Fajr? Why do we break our fast in Maghrib? Why do we eat Sahur? Why do we break our fast as soon as it's time to break the fast? All that is to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That purified man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that name is mentioned to you, your heart shall melt in love to that man. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah purified his eyes. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. Allah purified him from going astray. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Allah purified his chest. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَى. Allah purified his name and his mention. You say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. You say that over and over, and you get the highest peak of heaven for saying that. Why? Because it's in the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who Allah said about him, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Your name is supreme. Allah loved him. Allah loved him. Allah loved him to the point that he calls him Siraj al-Munira. Siraj al-Munira. You know what Siraj al-Munira is? Siraj al-Munira in the Quran is repeated four times. Three times Sirajan is about the sun. Three times is about the sun. And one time about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, it comes in the Quran for two meanings. One, about the sun. And the second, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the light. The same way this universe needs the sun for light, the same way this universe needs Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guidance to all humanity, the soul of this universe. They need the sun and they need Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Siraj al-Munira. When the oppression of the non-believers became so much to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah told them, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient. Is that what's going on? فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You're in my eyes in a manner that best suits Allah. Allah took care of him. Allah loved him. Allah praised him to the point every single messenger. Imagine this. Every single messenger. From the time of Adam to the time of Isa. Allah took a covenant upon them. What's the covenant that you took? If Muhammad comes in your time, you gotta give him commitment. وَإِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه. You're going to believe in him and you're going to give him victory. قال أأقررتم. You're going to give him commitment and victory. If Muhammad comes in your time, قالوا أقررنا. Yes, we will. قال فاشهدوا. You're the witnesses on this covenant. وَأَنَا مَعَكُم مِّنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah is the witness over all that. The unique question comes, why? Why would Allah take a covenant upon these messengers when He already knows that these messengers, why would Allah take a covenant upon these messengers when He knows that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be the last messenger? Why would He do that? The answer is simple. In honor of that man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah takes a covenant on every messenger if he comes, which is not going to come, but in honor to him, that's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one that the world will open up to and who will get out of his grave. The first one who's allowed to give commitment. The one who takes people out of their misery on the judgment day. He runs on the judgment day. As much as Allah loves them, as much as we should love them, as much as he loves us. On the judgment day, he runs around like a woman whose daughter is getting married. You ever see a woman whose daughter is getting married on that day? She's running from the left to the right, going all over, making sure everything's right, everyone is happy, the food is there, everyone is going, or everything's good. And that's how your prophet is on that judgment day. You see how much he loves you? You see how much he loves you? He runs on the judgment day from the mizan. The mizan, the balance, the actual balance where you weigh your deeds and sins. He runs over there to help the people over there so no one will be punished. Then he runs all the way to the sirat so everyone can transgress the sirat as fast as possible. Then he runs all the way to the hawl. The hawl. You need the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this life and you need him in the life after. I say you need him in this life because he's a guidance to humanity. You need him as a man. Because if you don't abide by the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you look like an animal. Our women need the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's the one who freed them and brought them the rights. No one other than it wasn't the laws of the 60s or the 50s or the 70s or 2002 that liberated the woman. It was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who liberated the woman. The blacks need the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guidance. Why do they need his guidance? Because he's the one who liberated him. He is the one who liberated him. It wasn't Abraham Lincoln who liberated him. It was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that liberated him. That nature needs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he told us how to watch out for nature. How to protect nature. 1,400 years ago, the animals need the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he sees a pigeon, and it's an army. His army's going, and a pigeon comes and complains to him. Someone took my babies. He stops the entire army. He stops the entire army for that little pigeon. Who scared this little pigeon with taking her babies? One of the Sahaba said, I did, O Prophet of Allah. He says, give it back. A camel loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A camel tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he puts on me my owner. He talks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He puts on me. Oh, wait, I can't handle. And the Prophet talks to the owner. An animal in the desert complains to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I got babies out there. They took me away from my babies. I gotta go breastfeed them. I gotta go feed them and come back. The Prophet tells the owner, well, you'll release them until he goes and feeds his babies and comes back. I will stay here until he comes back. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waits there until he comes back. Yes. Not only animals, everything. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Universe in its entirety needs the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need him on the judgment day. You need him on the judgment day when the suspense is killing you. The suspense is killing you. You want to know what's going on that day. That day that's long as 50,000 years. You go to Adam, and Adam to Nuh, and Nuh to Musa, and Musa to Ibrahim, and to Isa. We can help you, but we can help you. So you get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He helps you out of your misery. He says, "Ana laha, ana laha. I'm the one for it. I'm the one for it." That's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need him when you're terrorized on the judgment day. Not only this life, you need him in the life after. You're terrorized on the judgment day, even if you're a true believer. You need something to calm you down that night when the sun is as close to you as you can ever get to it. and you're in your way, you have your sweat is covering you, or you need something to calm you down, and you need a sip of water. Where do you go to other than the Prophet Muhammad, who's chilling over there by the house? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Him and his sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them all, will be sitting on the shores of the house, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Come in that water that's sweeter than yogurt, more beautiful, tasteful than honey. The drinks, the cups are sparkling like the stars in the sky. If you take a sip, you never get thirsty again. Who's going to give you that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the one who's going to give you that. Can you go and embrace the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you weren't watching his commands? Can you say, ah, Muhammad, please, a sip of water. I'm dying out of thirst. I need a sip of water. If you didn't follow in his footsteps, can you throw yourself at him and embrace him on that day when you so desperately need him? If you didn't follow the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you didn't look like him, could you ever throw yourself at his mercy and say, one sip, O Prophet of Allah, just one sip? It's going to say, take him away. Take him away. If you didn't pray, if you didn't fast, if you didn't follow the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's your Prophet. Love him. Love him. And I'm not saying love only in your heart. Let that love so in your actions, in your actions. You know, I don't like to bring examples like this, but I have to. Someone loves a girl or his wife, and he tells her, I love you. And he doesn't follow up in that. And he just tells her, I love you. She says, get out of my face. You don't really love me. If you love me, you show me, you love me. You show me by action. That's how you show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you love him. You have to love him. How can you not love him? How can you not love that man when animals love him? How can you not love man when a tree wept over him? He used to give a speech next to a branch, next to him. And he leaned on it. He put his hand on it. And it was first closest thing to him is that branch. And Tamim al-Dari tells him, O Prophet of Allah, let us build you a speech ladder. And they build him a speech ladder, 3 steps long. And he gets on that ladder, and he gives his first khutbah after he stopped standing next to the branch. You know what happened to that branch? It loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you not love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It cried to the point, some of the Sahaba said, we thought it was going to burst in half. It wept! It wept, it cried, the Sahaba heard it cry. حَتَّى كَادَتْ أَنْ تَنْفَلَتْ Bust in half. Yes, a branch. A branch loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the hearts hate him. Some of the hearts cling to love him, but they don't follow in his guidance. Not a branch. Take more than that. A mountain. A mountain loves the Prophet. جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ Uhud is a mud. A mountain that loves us and we love that mountain. Why do we love that mountain? Why do we love that mountain when there is nothing significant about that mountain? That mountain is not nice looking. Nothing grows in that mountain. If you say there's better mountains in this country and in Europe and other countries than Uhud. That mountain loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That mountain danced to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you tell the sisters they've come in, Bring them, tell them there's room over here in the back. The mountain loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It dances to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That mountain dances to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet gets on top of that mountain and the Prophet is under it, it dances, it shakes in happiness because Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are on top of that mountain. But Uhud, calm down Uhud. You only have a messenger and two martyrs on top of you. The mountain loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only the mountain, but little stones. Abu Huraira narrates the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was touching little stones. Those little stones were saying, Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Little stones. And he says, Abu Bakr asked to touch him. And they were saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allah. And then Umar took him. And then Uthman took him. And they're talking, little stones talking, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched them. They love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, Abu Huraira, then it went on after Uthman, they stopped talking. mountains, trees love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's some hearts that hate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's some hearts that claim they love the Prophet, but in their acts and their talks, they hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Allah said in the Quran, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. And then after that, your hearts became hard after that. فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ قَسْوَةً. It's like this. It's not harder than this. If you don't love the Prophet and you don't follow his commands, your heart is like this. In fact, it's harder than this. How can you not love him? Do you know what he went through? Do you, ya Muslim, know what he went through for you? Do you know what he went for in his life, in those 23 years of agony, so you can get La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, like a piece of cake? Do you know how hard it was upon him? He lived 40 years of his life, Ali, he could have been the supreme leader of Quraysh. He could have been, and he would have been, the supreme leader of Quraysh. His father, grandfather were all leaders. He was going to be leader. As-Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy. The one they trusted with everything. The one who never lied in anything to them, ever before. He goes and worships from when he was 30 to 40 in Ghar Hira. Some people wonder, why Ghar Hira? There's a lot of caves around Mecca. Why Ghar Hira? Ghar Hira, if you ever go on top of there, you get an angle to the Kaaba, so beautiful. You get a scenery to the Kaaba, so beautiful. It gives you peace of mind when you look at it. He used to look at the Kaaba and worship. Alone in seclusion, and then the message comes to him, Ya ayyuha al-muddathir, qum fa'andhir. Ya ayyuha al-muzzammil, qum, get up and carry this message. He carried this message for you. For you believers of La ilaha illallah, he carried it, which you take now for granted as a piece of cake. You know what he went through? They find him. Bowing to Allah by the Kaaba. Uqba ibn Abi Ma'yas finds him next to the Kaaba, bowing to Allah. Because he's trying to give a message to you. He takes the guts of a camel and he places it on top of his back. And the Sahaba, few of the believers, can't do nothing about it. So they take and they go and tell the Prophet, they tell the Prophet's young little daughters, go and help the Prophet. We can't go. If we go, he will kill us. And they go over there, his young little daughters, and take the guts off his back, and he gets up, and they're crying, and he's calming them down. Don't cry. Don't be sad. Don't be sad. Allah has given victory to your father very soon. Allah has given victory to your father very soon. Wallahi, Aqba ibn Abi Ma'yas did a scene every time. Every time I read it, my heart weeps inside. You know what he did? The Prophet had an upper garment that he used to wear. In that upper garment, he takes it. Uqba ibn Abi Ma'yas and wraps it around his neck. Around the Prophet's neck. This is Ahmad Jibreel. This is not Uthman or Muhammad or Abdullah or Yusuf. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes the garment and he wraps it around his neck and chokes the Prophet. You know what happens? The Prophet runs out of breath. And he's up to his knees. He falls on his knees. This is your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He falls down to his knees. They want to kill him. They intimidate him. They mock him. He walks around the Kaaba. And they make fun of him. And he withstands it. Then he goes up to him and he says, I'm sent with the sword for you. They say, Muhammad, we didn't know you're like this. Take it easy. We're joking. And they know what he was up to. That beautiful name, Muhammad. That beautiful name Muhammad, that no one knew before that time, Muhammad. They mocked him in his name. Mudamdam. They call him Mudamdam. Mudamdam. They went to the lowest level ever and mocking him. Mudamdam. And the Sahaba, the few around him, let's go in return, in revenge. And what are we going to do? They're mocking our Prophet. He said, calm down. With a smile on his face, a smile of assurance. They're mocking Mudamdam. My name is Muhammad. Take it easy. He comes to Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. That's your Prophet. That's your hero. That's your idol. That's the one we look up to. That's the one he followed in his footsteps. How can you not love him when he went through all this for your sake? They mock his wife. They talk about her honor. Her honor. His wife's honor. What more do you want than that? They mock her honor. Umla brings the throne and puts it in front of her house. They call him the one who's an Afsar. You know what an Afsar is? Because he couldn't have kids that lived a long one life. They said no one is going to come after him to carry his name. His name is going to die out. Allah says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar." We're going to give you a kawthar. We didn't give you kids in the life to carry on your name, but your name is going to live. And we're going to give you a kawthar in the life after. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. The one who mocked you and said, "You're an abtar, your legacy is not going to live on," he is the abtar. You guys don't even know him. I don't even need to disgrace this Jum'ah by mentioning his name. No one knows him. The life of the Prophet ﷺ, everyone knows it. Even the non-believers today know it. Yes, that's the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. His wife, his most beloved support, dies. And then Abu Talib dies. In one moment. In one moment. Agony. Hardship. And still the da'wah continues. Wallah, I say to myself, if one of the problems, that one, half of one of the problems that hit the Prophet ﷺ, personal ones, hit me, I'm going to sit in my house and be depressed and close my door. His wife, his uncle, died in one month. And you know what Allah tells him in the Quran? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاكِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't distress yourself. Take it easy on yourself. He's distraught. He's not going to have a nervous breakdown. Not over his personal problems, but over the da'wah. I want this legacy to continue. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُنْ. Take it easy on them. Take it easy on yourself. Not on them. Take it easy on them. Allah is going to give you victory and support. And when the world is a dead end to him, or seems to be a dead end, Allah tells him, come to us. Isra and Mi'raj. Come to us if the people of the earth don't want you. You come to us, we love you over here. And he comes back down, just after his wife and his uncle died. And he goes to a ta'if, a mountain. If you look at that mountain, you wonder how in the time of the Prophet ﷺ ever got up to that top of that mountain. Today, that mountain is that mountain. And there's roads that go around the mountain to get to the top. It takes you about 45 minutes in a car to get on top. And there's always, almost everyday accidents. You go over the cliff. People die over there. How did the Prophet get on top of it? They didn't have Nikes and Adidas to put on his feet. Their shoes every time they got in their house, they stitched them up over and over because they weren't like our shoes today. And he goes on top of that mountain with Zayd ibn Harith. 100 kilometers. And he gets on top of that mountain. Makkah's down there. They disbelieved in him. Now he's up there. He says, maybe I have hope over here. The first one sees him. Imagine this. He's sweating. He's tired. His feet are bleeding. And the first one he sees tells him, Allah couldn't find anyone better than you to send as a messenger. Ya subhanallah. Qul subhan rabbi. Hal kuntu illa basharan rasul. He's seen the sweat. He's seen what he's wearing. He's seen what his friend is. Allah couldn't find better than you. You? We don't need you. Another one tells him, you know what? If you're a messenger, this is number two. If you're a messenger, you're too high for me to even talk to. And if you're a liar, you're too low for me to talk to. Get out of my face. The third one says, wallah, if I see you on the Kaaba and swearing on the Kaaba you're the messenger of Allah, I still say you're a liar. Get out of my face. And he's distraught. 100 kilometers. His feet are bleeding. And they just standing there looking at him, worrying. And he tells him, okay, just one thing. Don't tell Quraysh I came up here. Because if they know, they're going to harm me. My uncle now died. My support died. This is the path of the deviants. This is the path of the deviants. They use that from what you tell them and come back and use it against you. Yes. What happened to him is they said, no. You get out of our face, and we are going to tell Quraysh. And he leaves this trial. You know how he leaves? Imagine the scenery, how he leaves the Ta'if, the mountain he's climbing down. Under a hail of bricks. Under a hail of shoes. Under the hail of spitting. And he leaves. And he's ducking down. And Zayd is covering his head. So nothing will happen. And the rocks are hitting his head and his body. And he's bleeding. And he gets down the mountain. And he's tired. They find trees. And they hide it between trees. And they go to sleep there. And he's awakened by Jibreel. Jibreel tells him, I got with me here the angel of the mountains. Just order us, we'll close down the Akhshabin upon him. There's two mountains around the top, we'll close that upon him. The merciful man. The merciful man says, Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They don't know. Oh Allah, God, they don't know. Maybe Allah will bring about them one who will embrace that ilaha illallah. You see how merciful he was. You see how merciful this man was. And he goes down. And Zayd is wiping the blood off his face. And he's saying his famous dua. Allahumma ilayka ashku ضعف قوتي. Oh Allah, I complain to you how weak I am. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي. I have nothing. No choices available in front of me. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. They look down upon me. They say, you are the messenger of Allah. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. أَنْتَ رَبِّي. Imagine the scenery. He's down there alone with the blood dripping down. Zayd is trying to clean the blood off his face, and he's making this dua. إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُو ضَعْفَ قُوَّتِي وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ أَنْتَ رَبِّي. You're my Lord. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي يَا اللَّهِ. Who am I going to go back to Quraysh? إِلَى ضَعِيفٍ يَتَجَهَمُنِي. A weak person who can aid me or support me or protect me, or to an enemy that's going to annihilate me. And then he says the same as God. إِن لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. If you're not mad at me, Allah, I don't care. وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Oh Allah, your mercy is bigger than everything. That's your Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He continues in his struggle for you. For you after this. After this. Are you going to see a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad? A sunnah, not a fard. A sunnah, and say, oh brother, that's just a sunnah. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that, because look what he went through to bring you this pure religion to you. Look what he went through. Ya sunnah. I take it highly. I take it highly with respect, and I bow down to that sunnah, let alone any fard. His struggle continued until one thing happened. You know what happened? You people came. The youth came. He's out one time looking, and he finds six men, you know where? In a barber shop. And he passes by and gives them da'wah. Everywhere he's at, giving da'wah. Young men. The range, the age range of these people is like the age range of OU today here. From 18 to 21. I looked it up. The youngest one is 18, the oldest is 21. You know who these two, six people are? These are the youths who built Islam. Wallah. Wallah, these are the youths who built Islam. These six people embraced Islam. They loved what the Prophet said. And they went back to Medina. They gave him commitment. The next year they come back with 73 people. 73 men and 2 women. And they give commitment in the hardest of all conditions. Give and give and give the commitment. Give, give, give. In return, one word. Al-Jannah. I got nothing more to give you this. And they go back. These 73 people who resulted from the 6 people are the ones who established the Khilafah in Medina. 18 to 22 years old. These are the heroes who founded Islam. You're our pride. You're our soul. You young people. Don't look at the older people. Don't wait for a sheikh to come and revive Islam. It's your duty. Every one of you. Every Muslim who says, La ilaha illallah, it's my duty to spread Islam. I must spread Islam. It's my duty to give victory to Islam. If Islam is defeated, it's a personal defeat. I take it as though it's my personal defeat. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued after that in his life to the time that there was many assassination attempts on his life sallallahu alayhi. In the battle of Uhud, they try to kill him. Imagine what happened. Everyone flees, but 20 people remain around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ammar and Nusaybah bin Ka'b is given the Prophet sallam a drink as the victory of the battle is there. They won. They're coming. The attack is coming from Quraysh. They won, and now there's a victory. Ammar brings the water to the Prophet, and she gets caught up in the middle. She gets caught up in a time where they're coming to kill the Prophet ﷺ, when Khalid ibn al-Walid does a retreat, and she's right in their middle. Look how she loved the Prophet. Imagine this woman. Imagine this woman, Ammar, what she did. Did she say, oh, I'm only bringing water for these people? Let me go back. She stands and takes a sword, and wraps her clothing, and starts fighting. And the Prophet ﷺ is behind her.
Ibn Qamiya, may Allah curse him, comes to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she stands in front of him. He goes to the left, she goes to the left. He goes to the right, she goes to the right. And then he hit her so hard that the sword dropped out. And she's still standing there. I can't let the Prophet ﷺ be attacked while I'm there. And then he begins to hit her on her shoulder. He crushes her shoulder bone to the point Habib bin Zayd said, later when she was cured and she lived 20 years after the Prophet ﷺ, she said, well, I used to put my fist in her shoulder. He crushed, imagine that, you get a little tiny sore or something, or a blister, you come sick, and I'm telling you, this woman, her bones are crushed, and she's still standing there. Then she can't take it no longer. She falls down. Her son runs to her aid, Habib. She says, leave me, go to him, it's him who you need to go to. It's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you need to defend, go to him. The Prophet in his agony, in his hardship says, who can handle that which you handled? Who is one who can handle that which you handled? She says, I can handle. I can handle and handle. Atiq. For your sake, O Prophet, I can handle and handle. O Prophet, could you ask Allah that I be among those with you on the judgment day? This is not in the luxury of air conditioner or heat. This is in the battlefield when she's bleeding. She's nearly bleeding to death. Oh Allah, ask Allah that I be among those with you in heaven. The Prophet ﷺ says, not only you, you and your entire family. And then he passes on a little bit. They have a hole for him dug up so he can get killed and die in it. Ibn Qamiya has dug up a hole in him. He falls in that hole and brass and metal breaking his face. And his teeth are chipped. And he's in that hole. And now the attack is coming upon him. Be in focus with me in a scenery like that. The Prophet is in the hole. And they're coming now to kill him. It's time to kill him. The arrows are about to start shooting. The swords are about to swing. Ibn Qamiya is running towards that hole. They found out the Prophet fell in the hole that they dug up for him. And you know what Abu Dujana does? He jumps and throws himself on top of the Prophet. His back turns into a bunch of holes. Holes in his back. Abu Bakr said, I looked at his back, it was bleeding, even though he had a shield on his back. Bleeding with a bunch of holes in his back. And then Abu Talha defends and pushes the people away and he's hugging them. You know who that man in that hole is? Tell me I want to be like Abu Dujana today. I tell you, yeah. Be like Abu Dujana today. The one in the hole is Islam. Islam, you can be like Abu Dujana and better than Abu Dujana. The one in the hall is Islam. Defend it and throw yourself at it. And protect it and guard it. That's the Islam we're talking about. And then the later of the Sahaba, the latter of them are protecting and pushing the Prophet to the point Abu Talha comes and carries him. Look how much they loved him. The metal is in his face. They take him to a safeguard, to a safe area. And then Abu Ubaidah says, wallah, you won't take it out, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr's trying to take it out. Wallah, that's my teeth. Who's going to take it out? And he takes it out with his teeth. His teeth all break. He lived his life with no teeth. His teeth broke, taking the metal out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how much they love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali and his daughter are over there. Ali and Fatima are over there trying to cover the blood. As soon as the metal is taken out, the blood gushes out, and they're putting water. The more they put water, the more blood gushes out. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib brings a rag and puts it in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he was wounded. They love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved him. They gave him his life. That Prophet that we're talking about, if you truly love him, it's that which he went through that you must guard and protect today. You can be like Amara. You can be like Abu Dujana. You can be like Abu Talha. It's Islam you guard and protect. أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. That's how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم lived his life until Allah reveals in the Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your religion. وأتممت عليكم نعمتي. I give you my grant. ورضيت. I accepted Islam for you. It's fulfilled Islam. When Abu Bakr heard this, he began to weep. He said, this is Allah's condolence to the Prophet that he's going to die. Umar said, began to cry. He said, when something reaches its peak, Islam reaches peak,
The only thing other than that is it goes down after that. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to die. A condolence from Allah. Verses followed after that. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتِ فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتِ The Prophet sees Umar. Umar sees the Prophet. Says, oh Prophet, you got a couple gray hairs in your head. 17, 18 gray hairs. You got gray hair. He never had any gray hair. Till the last days of his life. The last months of his life. Why you got gray hairs, O Prophet of Allah? It's one verse in the Quran. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ And stay steadfast to that right religion. That one verse. Stay steadfast to Islam. Stay steadfast to the Islam of the Prophet and the Sahaba, not the Islam of the modernists and the deviants. Stay steadfast to that. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ And you and your close and righteous one. And then Allah reveals 9 days before His death, the last verse according to the great vast majority of the scholars, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ And fear the day when you're going to return back to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And then we're going to give you that which you deserve in the judgment day and no one will be oppressed. Fear the day when you will return to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that falls ill. Falls ill on his bed. The Sahaba don't know that it's his last time. All they see is a hint. He leaves the house of Maymuna to the house of Aisha. He made a deal with his wife that he stayed in Aisha's house the rest of his days. The Sahaba didn't know that. They see a glimpse of him walk in one side with Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And on his right side is Ali ibn, on his other side is Ali ibn Abi Talib. They're all both carrying him from the house of Maymuna to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. They see a glimpse, that's the Prophet. That's the one when Aisha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, that great, great hero, one of the greatest heroes of Islam. 27 years old, the Prophet was 56 in the battle of Uhud. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swinging was so harsh that no one could keep up with him. When the swinging of the Prophet began, we'd hide under him. Under him. Around him. إِذَا حَمِيَ الْوَطِيسِ اِحْتَمَيْنَا بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Sword after sword breaks in his hand. You know how each sword, how much each sword? It's about 10 kilos. Historians say every sword is 10 kilos. Sword after sword breaks in his hand. Now they see that hero, that idol, being carried by Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas on one side and Ali. It was tormented to them. The masjid began to weep because of that scenery. That little glimpse, just walking from the house of Maymuna to Aisha. And the masjid began to weep and cry over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They still didn't know it was really death that's coming. They just seen that glimpse of him. They loved him. They loved him more than their fathers and mother. When Umar ibn al-Khattab told the Prophet, I love you more than everyone in my life. He meant it. He said, everyone except me. Then he took a walk outside. And the Prophet said, you're not a believer until you believe in me and you love me more than you love yourself. He took a walk outside and he's thinking and thinking back. He said, oh Prophet, I love you more than I love myself now. His son asked him, why? How did you change so fast? He said, I thought on the judgment day, who am I going to need more? Myself or the Prophet? Who's the one who guided me? Myself wants me to go to hell. And this man wants me to go to heaven. On the judgment day, I need his shafa'ah. I love him more than I love myself. It was easy. He came back and said, I love you more than I love myself. And the masjid is shouting and screaming, the Prophet ﷺ, with the help of the sahaba, gets up on the speech ladder and says, oh you believers, are you worried about me? And they all say, yes. Yes. In one voice, in one chant. He said, this is not our place of meeting. Our place of meeting is over there in the house. Around the shores of the Hawd on the judgment day. Our place of meeting is in the gardens of heaven. That's where we meet. And then he goes back. Then he comes back again the following day and gives a speech. And he says there's a man who was given a choice between this life and living a long life forever. And then dying before the judgment day. Or dying now and entering heaven. Both ways he's going to enter heaven. One with a long life, or now he meets Allah. He said that he chose that he meets Allah now. Someone else. It's as though he's seen someone else. Abu Bakr is tearing and weeping over there. And he's crying. Abu Bakr is crying over there. And people are saying, what's wrong with this crazy man? The Prophet sort of felt better in that day. And they said, now he tells you, what's wrong with this crazy man? And he looks at Abu Bakr. And he says, if I was to take anyone as a Khalilah, the closest any two humans can get,
it would be this man. سدوا كل الخوخات إلا خوخات أو close all the rooms entering to the masjid except the one that leads from this man's house. Hence about this great man. The only one who understood what the Prophet meant by that man, that quote that he said, there's a man who was given two choices. And he gives a speech. And a long speech. And he tells people, As-salah, As-salah, prayer on time. He died saying prayer on time. As-salah, take care of your woman. You took them by the will and command of Allah. Don't oppress them under your control. Fear Allah and your woman. And he went on to talk and talk. And what's most amazing to me is what he said towards the end. He said, if I ever talked about anyone, get up now in front of people and talk about me like I talked about you. I don't want to be asked about it on the judgment day. If I hit anyone wrongfully, let him get up today and hit me wrongfully. Hit me like I hit him. Get up. Who said that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad was afraid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our master was afraid. The one who's granted a place in heaven by no doubt is afraid. He maybe thought he bit someone, he backbit someone, or he left someone, or he took someone wrongfully, he's afraid about it. And then he continues giving his speech, so Sahaba take him. And he goes on his bed, and on his last day, Monday the 11th year of the Hijrah, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, he's ill. But now, that Monday morning in Fajr, he opens the door like this. And the Sahaba are praying over here. And he peeks from his house to the masjid. And he peeks in. He sees them praying the Fajr behind Abu Bakr. And the Sahaba get excited. He's okay. He's on his 2 feet again now. That's the awakening of death. Usually when someone dies, there's a moment before death where he feels better and he feels as though there's nothing. Could be moments, could be days or whatever. And then he dies right after that. The Sahaba said, Alhamdulillah, it's okay. Abu Bakr prayed the Fajr. Some of the people behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were behind Abu Bakr, were trying to tell Abu Bakr, stop, he's okay, let him lead the prayer. We're excited, we're happy. That's the sign of approval. I left you in good hands. I left you in the hands of Abu Bakr. These are the great hands. Follow in the footsteps of this hero. Follow in the footsteps of these heroic men. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And he goes back. As soon as the prayer is done, Abu Bakr is so happy. He hasn't visited his family in an area in Medina called Al-Awali. He goes to Al-Awali and he visits his family over there, thinking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is okay. But as soon as he gets there and he gets the news, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. You know how he passed away? In his wife's arms. On his wife's chest. On Aisha's chest. She used to say, my specialties are many. Just before he died, my brother Abdurrahman walked in upon us and he had a miswak in his mouth. The miswak was in the Prophet and Abdurrahman's mouth, and the Prophet can't talk. He's looking at him, he's knowing, he's gesturing. And I look to Aisha, I want that. It's just by eye glances. So she takes it, takes the other side of it, chews it up, makes it suffer, puts it in his mouth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to pray for his wife, for his daughter Fatima. For his daughter Fatima, she says, come Fatima. She comes. And he tells her something in her ear. And she begins to cry. And then he tells her, come back. He tells her, give you something else. I'll give her something else. She begins to laugh. The woman there is looking at that. Said, you know, they said, what happened? She refused to tell him at that moment. After he died, she said the first one was that he's going to die. This is the illness he's going to die from. The second one is that I'm the one, the first one from his family to follow me. She was indeed the first one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on his deathbed. And Aisha, alone with him now, thinking everything's okay. She said, I knew the angel of death walked in. Because he was saying, Bala Rafiq al-A'la. Raised his finger and said, Bala Rafiq al-A'la. The one up there, I choose him. She said, the angel of death had come in and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm the angel of death. Can I take your soul or do you want to live the long life? The two choices. He said, Bala Rafiq al-A'la. My friend up there. Bala Rafiq al-A'la. Bala Rafiq al-A'la. Ma'an nabiyeen wa siddiqeen wa shuhadai wa salihin. With the other messengers and the righteous believers and the martyrs. With them I belong. And he kept saying that. And saying that until his hand fell down and a cold breeze left his mouth.
mouth. She said, I took his head and put it on a pillow, and then I covered him and ran to the people and told them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And all hell broke loose in the masjid. Muhammad died. Ali, like a little kid. Ibn Mas'ud, running around like a baby. Umar, swinging his sword. Fatima, Ya Abata, oh my father, oh my beloved father, oh my father, Ya Abata, ila jannati Rabbi da'a, Ya Abata, ila Allah da'a, Ya Abata, ila Jibreel da'a, to Jibreel he goes, to Allah he goes, to the gardens of heaven he goes, and Umar is swinging his sword. You hypocrites! You say Muhammad died. He's only went to me. He knows what's going on in the back of his mind, but he can't believe the reality of the death of this brother that they had. This father, when they needed him as a father. When they needed someone to joke with him, he was there. When they needed someone to play with, he was there. When they needed advice, he was there. Now, it's all gone! It's all gone! They're running around like little kids not knowing what to do. Abu Bakr comes from the Awali and he sees them and he kisses his forehead. Tuttahayyan wa mayyizan, O Prophet of Allah, you're sweet, dead and alive. He kisses his beloved forehead and he puts them back and he goes out. He gotta take care. He's going into the biggest agony himself, but he's gotta tolerate it to cover for the ummah. Otherwise, if he enjoys with what they're going on, he's gonna himself gonna cause problems to the ummah. He gets up on the speech ladder and before that he tells Umar, Umar, calm down. The reality is there. Calm down. Umar doesn't listen to Abu Bakr. He gets up on the speech ladder and he says, praise to Allah and thanks to Allah. And he praises and thanks to Allah. If you worship Muhammad, Muhammad died. If you worship Allah, Allah does not die. And then he said the famous verse in the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ He's only a messenger. Muhammad is only a messenger. Like the prior messengers. If he dies, Allah displayed in the setting they're in. Or he's killed. You render on your heels as non-believers. Whomever does that will not harm Allah, but will harm himself. Umar hears that, and he falls to his knees. He says, Wallah, I know where this verse was revealed, and where we were at, and I memorized it. But at that moment, he couldn't remember it. It was a stunning news. And then he goes and he's worried about Uthman now. Uthman, you know what happened to that shy old man now? Shy, late old man now? You know what happened to him? He's walking around in Medina. People come, Salaamu Alaikum. He's blank. Nervous breakdown. Umar awakens out of what happens to him. And he's not worried about Uthman. Uthman walking around Medina. And he goes to Abu Bakr, hurry up. Let's take Uthman. This is before they buried the Prophet ﷺ. Uthman is over there. He's walking around Medina. I tell him, Salaamu Alaikum. He doesn't see what's in front of him. He's got a blank look. Nervous breakdown. The reality was harsh upon him. The man who water used to come out of his fingers, miracles from Allah, is no longer the man there. The one who used to bring a few dates and out of those dates feed it into your arm is no longer there. The man who used to brother them and beloved them, that man is no longer there. Ibilal radiallahu anhu, it took him a few days to say, I can't even live in Medina. The man who I used to carry his shoes, he's no longer here. The man I used to walk side and side in and out of the masjid and walk. The Prophet ﷺ, most of his time in Medina would be walking next to Bilal. He's no longer there. He left Medina in its entirety because he couldn't withstand looking in Medina, in the streets of Medina. Without the Prophet ﷺ, he left Medina and he went all the way to Damascus to live over there. This is your hero. This is the man we look up to. Yes. It's emotional. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that. Whomever has a problem, Remember what we talked about today? Because that's the biggest of all problems. The biggest disaster of all times is the death of our prophet. مَنْ عَظُمَتْ مُصِيبَتُهُ فَلْيَذْكُرْ مُصِيبَتَهُ فِيكْ فَإِنَّهَا أَعْظَمِ مُصَاعِبِ The biggest problem all is the death of the Prophet ﷺ. But you gotta carry on his legacy. Let this emotion turn into work. Legacy. Let this emotion turn into work. I tell you, be Abu Dujana, the one who fell in Islam. Ramadan is there. Ramadan is like a boot camp. Ramadan is a training camp. Ramadan is there to teach you that like you are in this month, when the chain, devils are chained up, when the skies, the angels, the gates of heaven are open and the gates of hell are closed, the same way you act in this month, you act throughout the entire year. Every day of your life is Ramadan. Don't be Ramadanis. Be Muslims. Don't be Ramadanis. Be Muslims following the footsteps of this man. That's the best way. So you can throw yourself at him on the judgment. They say, oh Prophet, well, they mocked me for you. Come on. I want a hug. If you need that hug on the judgment day, near the shores of the Hawd, when everyone is running in terror, tell him, oh Prophet, I wanted to look like you. That's why they mocked me. Come on, I need a hug. I need a sip. Give me a sip from your own hand. I want it from your own hand. I don't want from those cups there that are sparkling like the stars in the. I don't want it from that. I want it from your own hand. You think he's going to deny you that? But you got to show something. You can't say, I'm a Muslim. I love the Prophet and not following it. You got to do that and follow the Prophet. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي Follow him. If you love Allah, يُحْبِبْكُمْ Allah. I'm sorry for staying very long in this khutbah. Inshallah won't happen in the future. ثم صلوا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بالصلاة والسلام عليه فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى عليه واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشر اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصديق علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعن الصحابة والتابعين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين وأهلك الزنادقة والملحدين اللهم ارفع علم الجهاد وانصر المجاهدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم اربط على قلوبهم اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا مبينا إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة